only station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sactown Sports.
Quick reminder, Sacramento State football back at home Saturday night. Nationally televised primetime game versus Montana State. Kickoff 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. Coming up with the Drive guys, I mentioned Anthony Slater, the piece he wrote at The Athletic. He's going to join us bottom of the hour. Slates will be along. Also today in the 4 o'clock hour, it's the return of the Factor Fantasy Showdown, and I believe it'll be your first time playing.
Yeah, first time, exactly. So please, take it easy on me. Don't beat me up.
It's not.
Talk to the judge
exactly.
There.
Simone,
not up to him.
We got to grade my takes.
Simone.
Grade my answers on a curve, okay?
On a curve.
Give me the benefit of the doubt. That's all I'm saying.
The bar is high.
I am honest and just. That's all I will say. Honest and just, judge.
We have that and more, of course, coming up as we continue to bask in the afterglow of a Kings preseason win, but it was a win. Interesting looking at some of the previews that are making their way onto the internet these days. I found this, SI.com. Chris Mannix, I know you know Chris
Mannix. Yeah, my guy Chris, yep.
He has compiled some reviews of teams from an anonymous scout's takes. So he's talked to scouts, and then they gave their views to Chris of the teams. We don't know who the scouts are, but really interesting stuff to me. I really enjoy this every year. I think The Athletic did something similar last year during the playoffs too. So this is what a scout, an NBA scout, tells Chris Mannix about the Kings. Sacramento surprised everyone last year. This is what Kyle doesn't like this next sentence. I thought a number of times they benefited a lot from a great home court atmosphere, being a good team, and from teams going up there thinking like, oh, this is an easy win. Now, what's your problem with that?
Kings were like one of the worst home teams in the playoffs last season. Like, and this is the problem I have with it, Whitey. It's like, I understand this is an anonymous scout's take, but this shows me, like, what are you talking? Did you watch the games? Do you know what the team we're talking about?
He says, I don't know how much they're going to get that benefit this year. Were they 5 over 500 at home?
Yeah, they were 23-18. Yeah, they were terrible at home last year. Come on now.
He also says, this won't surprise you, quote, they were also really lucky with health.
Of course. That always got to be the first or second thing when it mentions the Sacramento Kings. You know how I feel about health. That should be stricken from the lingo, the verbiage of every writer in America when it comes to the Sacramento Kings. Who cares about health last season? It's about this year. And they could have another healthy year. And like we said, they weren't even that healthy. Played through injuries.
I would bet you money, Kyle, that these scouts, people like these scouts, they don't even know that, but somebody somewhere, Hollinger wrote it somewhere, and then everybody who reads about basketball and now everybody's saying it.
Exactly.
Oh, really? Because one guy pointed it out.
And that's the problem with, the media right now, and whether it's social media or, it's like one person says it, then everybody aggregates it, and then it becomes the narrative, and it's just not true.
Mm-hmm. He says, De'Aaron Fox, this to me is really interesting. This is an NBA scout, as I said. De'Aaron Fox down the stretch. Is he able to duplicate what he did last season? Because end of games, that dude was bleeping off the charts good. Fourth quarter, he was lethal, which surprised me a little bit. I like Fox, but I guess I wasn't expecting him to be the best bleeping clutch player in the league.
Wow.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, you know what? I will say this regarding De'Aaron Fox and his clutch play last season. There were times I would sit there and think, he's got to miss one of these, right? Like, he can't just, this isn't who he is now. But he did it time and time again. And so I think, you know what? Maybe this scout is right in terms of, can he do it again? Like, that's what makes the great players, great. Now Fox has to do it again. But I thought all last year, you know what? That's who he was. He was that dude last year.
I don't know about you, but there were a lot of times last year down the stretch where he would do that, and I would still be surprised that he was doing it, even though we saw it. Because to the scout's point, it's like, we knew he could do it, but he's going to do it again?
Right.
And again? And I'm thinking, if people who saw the Kings play every night felt that way, think what it was like for opponents. They'd be going, what is going on?
Yeah.
Also, the way the Kings basically changed, they ran an offense for three quarters. In the fourth quarter, Fox just took over.
Right. It was
that
Fox's.
Had to be hard to prepare for.
Yeah, hard to prepare for. But I will say, when you watch De'Aaron Fox play in the fourth, it wasn't like he was hitting circus shots or incredible shots or anything like that. Sure, he had some game winners, you know, the big three, obviously half court heave against Orlando, but a lot of his scoring came from 15 and in late in games. And we know he could get to the cup. We know he can finish around the basket. He can get to the free throw line. And so I don't think it was a fluke watching him last. It'd be different if, you know, all of a sudden he turned into Steph Curry and started knocking down three threes in the fourth and all that. But he was hitting a lot of mid-range jumpers, getting to the paint a lot of layups. And so it was no fluke last year.
What do you make of this from BW? And I'm not familiar with BW.
No, if you're new to Chad, welcome. We appreciate it.
BW says, D-Fox can't shoot from deep. Zero threat.
What do you mean zero threat? Sure, he's not. But I've always said anybody can make a game winner, a clutch one. That's why you got to press up on everybody. You can't allow open threes. De'Aaron Fox, and I might have to pull these numbers here, Whitey. I want to look at his fourth quarter shooting numbers, because that's where you earn your money. That's when things really take off for you. That's when they, you know, really mean a lot. And so I'm going to look up at that. Sure, we know De'Aaron Fox isn't the greatest three-point shooter, but I think you do have to respect him out there. You can't just play off of him and not defend that.
I do think that's the single biggest key to whether or not he becomes a truly great player. And I know he was great at times last year. He's good enough now where, you know, we're talking about, well, can he become a truly great player going forward? And I think a lot of that hinges on how consistently he's able to start making his threes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the evolution, right? From an offensive standpoint, we know he can get to the basket. We know his mid-range game is on point. But, man, if he can be a 37, 38% three-point shooter.
Which he was for a while.
Yeah, he was. Like, he started off the season hot from three. He was looking great. Then, obviously, the numbers went back down to earth. But, you know, when you look at De'Aaron Fox, that's the only hole in his game is the three-point shooting. But what I did see last season, Whitey, is a more confident De'Aaron Fox shooting the three. Sure, it didn't always go down, but he wasn't hesitant or, you know, gun-shy or scared to pull the trigger on the three.
No.
Like, he was A-OK putting it up. He just looked like a more confident shooter, I thought, last season.
And that is something that has great value in the NBA, too, because, and I know you talked to a lot of players and coaches, and they'll tell you there are some guys who have reputations as being really good players who don't want to take those shots.
Right, right. No, you're 100% right. Who, in the clutch, they're looking to pass.
They just assume not be that
guy. They want to go stand in the corner and let somebody else knock it down. And De'Aaron Fox isn't that guy.
Mm-hmm. Here's what the scout has to say. This anonymous scout has to say. We should come up with a name for the anonymous scout.
I know,
if you got anything, great. But on the text line or the chat, he says, of Keegan Murray, Keegan has another level. Defensively, he'll improve. He'll get better physically. And he says his improvement, if it happens, will be big for them. He also says, can he make more plays off the dribble, do some different things like that? Is he more than just a space the floor, spot up, cut, defend type of player? Again, his improvement, if it happens, will be big for them. His improvement is actually, it's required.
Yes.
They're banking on it this year.
Yes, they are banking on it. But would you say that answer has already, we already have the answer to that question? Like, have you seen enough California Classic preseason to think that he is going to take that leap? Not if he takes that leap,
he looks like he's on that track. But obviously we got to, you know,
we got to play it out.
But so far it's like he seems to understand that and embrace it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the scout said, can he make more plays off the dribble and do some different things like that? I think, you know, in a small sample size this preseason, we've seen that. Now he just has to do it time in and time out.
Mm-hmm. So what does it come down to for this scout as far as how good the Kings can be? Well, you know what the answer is going to be, right? First of all, you know that people are going to point out, well, you know, they were so healthy last
year.
Yeah, so that. And the other thing, of course, is their defense. The scout says, I don't know how much better defensively they can be. You're limited with Sabonis and his defensive liabilities when you play him. He's playing the five. The only time I've ever seen him be part of a good defense is in Indiana, where they put him out there with Miles Turner for at least 18 minutes a night. How much do you think that resonates? How truthful is it?
I'm going to say 30%. Like, I'm low on this because when you look at the Kings' defense – sure, they need a rim protector. You know, We would love Domas to be that. But really what it starts out with is the perimeter defense has to be better. And so I believe you can be a good defense with Domantas Sabonis if you have the right players around him. You know, we saw that in Indiana. You had Miles Turner, a shot blocker, who helped him out, obviously. But if your perimeter defense is better, Sacramento, I don't think you put Domantas Sabonis that much in a pickle, in a bind, because he's not a shot blocker. You know, he's a verticality kind of guy. You know, he's going to go straight up. He's not going to reject shots, three shots a game or anything like that. But I think, you know, if we're solely basing the Kings' defense on Domas, like that's what this article is saying, you're limited with Sabonis and his defensive liabilities. I disagree. I think you need better perimeter defense, and then maybe you don't need Domas to be this shot-blocking big man in the middle.
Well, this could lead to a lineup change that we didn't see in the preseason, but that Alex Len told us could be coming.
Yes.
And we'll tell you exactly what that is when we come right back. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Drive Guy, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Kevin Huerter straight away. Drive. Backdoor cut. Vision pop. Again. This time it's Huerter with the pass. And the score is tied at 68 apiece.
Do the Kings all of a sudden have a situation at the off guard? We'll get into that in just a moment here with the Drive guys. Also, bottom of the hour, Anthony Slater from The Athletic. He was one of three writers putting together a really, really fascinating preview of the Pacific Division that The Athletic ran today, and we'll talk to Slates about that bottom of the hour. But we're just talking about this anonymous scout and the takes he has on the Kings that Chris Mannix had today in SI.com. And this scout says that with Sabonis being as limited defensively as he is, that the Kings are really going to have a hard time improving defensively. What I was going to ask you about, Kyle, is this scout points out that Sabonis, when he played in Indiana with Miles Turner, that they were a pretty good defensive team. And I know that Alex Len told Chris Watkins and I a few weeks ago at Media Day, hey, we may see some lineups where Sabonis is the four and maybe he's playing with a big. Do you think we might see more of that? Something we didn't see. I don't think we saw that at all in the preseason.
I think we'll see it very minimal, to be honest with you, because what people fail to realize.
You're not a fan of it, I know.
No, not as presently constructed. We've seen Alex Len hit the three. JaVale McGee hit the 15, 16-footer last night. But Miles Turner was a pretty good three-point shooting big. And so you didn't see him a whole lot on the block. I think if you're going to pair Domantas Sabonis and play him at the four, you need a stretch big, a guy that can shoot the three, a Brooke Lopez, for instance, a Miles Turner. I just don't see it, Alex Len and Sabonis playing together, or JaVale McGee and Sabonis. Maybe in spot duty, and I know Alex Len, you know, told you guys and told me about it as well. Mm-hmm. I just, in today's NBA, is Sabonis really chasing around four? Is he guarding Jason Tatum on the perimeter? Is that what we really want, Mike Brown? I don't think so.
Yeah, so will the need for better perimeter defense actually open the door even further for Colby Jones? We'll answer that in just a moment. First, to the phones we go. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Rick joins us. Rick, you're on with the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Happy Friday. What's up?
Happy Friday. Hey, quick question. The other night we're playing the Warriors. And this was my question last spring, is why is guarding
Seth? We got to get his phone together.
Yeah. Rick, we lost you. Sorry.
Call back, man. You there?
Sorry, Rick. We got to let you go. Apologize. You're fit. Not you. But we can't. You know. So that's...
He did.
Not
he got
fault.
That BlackBerry. That's what that problem is.
It's always,
you know?
It's always right when it's a key word in the question. Why is and then they
He don't have that cellular phone. He got that cheapular phone, you know. So,
sorry about that,
hopefully
Rick.
He could call back, though. When you got better reception, call back. We love the calls.
I think I know where it was going, but I'm not sure. So the scout says the Kings, you're going to count on some of these guys to become better individual defenders. The perimeter defense becomes so important because you don't want Sabonis back there being overwhelmed, and he's not a great shot blocker. So does that open the door further for Colby Jones, who had a magnificent preseason?
I just don't see it, Whitey. I know everybody wants Colby Jones. You know, all our armchair coaches, all these Twitter coaches out there.
Colby Jones,
got to get minutes. Got to find minutes for this guy. I still don't see how Colby Jones is going to get anything more than spot duty or injury replacement. You know, here's the thing. Mike Brown, he loves defense. We know that. But tell me who's not going to play. Is he going to take Davion out of the rotation? Is he going to take Malik Monk out of the rotation? Kevin Huerter? I just don't see that happening. And so Colby Jones, and Mike Brown said it yesterday, Colby Jones is making Mike Brown's job extremely difficult, really hard. But for right now, he's still a rookie playing against backups, mind you.
Right.
Like, let's keep it real. It's not like he's out there against Utah's number one squad, the Warriors, their full squad, the Lakers, who we'll see. And so performing against those guys is a different animal. And so I love Colby Jones. Like I said earlier, he's done everything he could possibly do to get into the rotation. Right now, I think the numbers just aren't in his favor.
Well, to answer your question, you say, whose minutes would he take? Would he take Davion's? No. Would he take Monk's? No. Would he take Herter's? Maybe some of them, the way Herter's playing, and that's the issue that we didn't think the Kings would have here heading into the regular season. What's going on at the two-guard? Duarte started in place of Huerter, played well, got hurt again. And then Colby Jones has continued to play well, and Huerter has not played well. So a good problem to have, perhaps, but that is, I'm sure it's an issue. It's not just from Mike Brown's standpoint, something where he could say, you know what? Kevin's good to go. Roll him out there. We're good, just like last year. I don't think that's where it is right now.
Yeah, but I don't think that decision has even been made right now. Like, now, if you're 20 games in and Huerter's still struggling or something, yeah, but guys, we got to be better than this. Let's call it what it is. We just said what happens in preseason, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Who cares if you win or lose or whatever? Don't tell me all of a sudden because of preseason games, we're supposed to give a guy 20 minutes a game.
It's not just preseason, though, with Kevin Huerter. Now, I'm not piling on Kevin Huerter. If he plays like he did last year, great. But he struggled shooting the ball against the Warriors, and he continues to struggle. And defense has never been a strength of his. So it's something you got to look at when you're desperate to improve, especially defensively.
So let me throw this at you then, Whitey, because I hear everything you're saying. And I hear you, Sacramento Kings fans and people on Twitter and all the social media. If Colby Jones replaces Kevin Huerter, where's Kevin Herter's spot in it?
Well, I don't
when
think
does he come in?
He can't replace him, in my opinion, but he can take more of his minutes. If Huerter does not play well, I think he gets fewer minutes. To your point, I think I'm answering your question here. I think it would be a little premature to say, all right, Kev, you're sitting down. Colby, you're starting. You run the risk of overexposing Colby Jones, in which case you would lose him. You could lose Huerter. So I'm not saying that, yeah, that's it. Jones is starting. But I'm saying that if this continues, he's going to get more and more minutes. And maybe Duarte, if he plays well when he comes back, maybe he fits into that starting role, because we can't ignore the fact that he played really well in that game
that
he started.
And that's the thing. We can't forget about Chris Duarte. So Kevin Huerter played 29 minutes last season. Let's say he regresses to 25 minutes, 22 minutes, something like that. Is Colby Jones the guy, or is it Chris Duarte? We don't know. Colby Jones has to not only climb over Kevin Huerter to get minutes, you know, steal minutes. He got to steal minutes from Chris Duarte also, who looked good before getting hurt. And so I'm not into the flavor of the month. You know, what have you done for me yesterday? Calm down, everybody. This guy is still a rookie. Colby Jones is a solid player, looks good, done everything you asked. But I don't think from opening night, all of a sudden, you know, Colby Jones is getting 10 to 15 minutes a game. I think we need to see if Kevin Huerter struggles in the first 10, 15 games, then maybe. But then you also got Chris Duarte. And so, you know, It's going to take a lot, I think, for Colby Jones really to crack the rotation, anything more than spot duty here and there.
I think if he plays better defense than, say, Kevin Huerter, and he plays offensively anything close to what he's done in the preseason, I think his minutes are going to grow and grow and grow. I think they have to because, again, I'm being redundant, but I think the Kings are so desperate for anybody who can make them better defensively. But we don't know yet.
But Whitey, that's being abstract. That's being vague. Like when you say grow, 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 are you talking 3 to 7 to 10? Or are you talking he's eventually going to be a 20? Like what do you think is his ceiling? What would you say best, most optimal scenario for Colby Jones?
Well, he's definitely in my rotation opening night. I'm putting him in the rotation. Now, I don't know what Duarte's health situation is.
With or without, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Are we assuming Duarte's out? Then Colby Jones is in the rotation a little
better?
I would
give him a shot because he's played that well, and he addresses some of my needs. I would have him opening night in the rotation.
I broke it down yesterday, and I'll do it again today. When you look at the Sacramento Kings, you got the starting five, which I'm including Kevin Huerter. Malik Monk, Davion Mitchell, so that's 7. Trey Lyles, that's 8. JaVale McGee's going to play. That's 9. So at best, Colby Jones is the 10th man, 11th man on this team.
Yeah, but you're looking at it, and I understand why. You're looking at a list of guys, and I'm just looking at the one position.
Which position are we looking
on
at?
The two guard.
All right, let's say two guard. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Who's your starter?
Right now it's Kevin Huerter.
Who's your backup?
My backup might be
It's
Duarte.
Malik Monk, right? It's Malik Monk.
I see him as a, well.
It's Malik Monk.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because you got Davion, right, at backing up the one, I think, right? That's what we're, and then, so it's who's the third two guard?
Well, it's either
Duarte or Colby Jones, right? Yeah. That's where you start.
Right.
And maybe.
And Monk's a little, you're right, but I mean, he obviously can play either spot.
He could play two or one. And so that's why I find it, you know, we're talking about not the backup two guard. We're talking the backup to the backup two guard. And that's either Chris Duarte or Colby Jones.
Yes.
And so, you know, before Duarte got hurt, no offense, but we weren't talking about Colby Jones taking minutes from Kevin Huerter. We were talking about Chris Duarte taking minutes.
Game, right?
But we were talking about Chris Duarte taking minutes from Kevin Huerter. And so I think once Duarte comes back, I think he assumes that position again. I don't think he's out of the rotation. Mike Brown likes Chris Duarte. I like Chris Duarte. There's a reason why he started in that game and not Colby Jones in that game. And so I'm just trying to pump the brakes on this Colby Jones, you know, is got to be in the rotation.
He's got to get a chance to show that he can do in the regular season what he did
over
in the preseason.
Though? Over who?
Over Huerter, if Huerter doesn't play better.
Nah, no.
If Huerter doesn't play better, he's not helping
me.
You.
But that's what
he
I'm saying.
He doesn't help you, so why would you play him?
Don't you need Kevin Huerter to show us that? Like, I'm not going to make a decision on Kevin Herter's playing time just off 5 games.
That's why I said I would still start him, okay. But he's got to play better or his minutes are going to shrink. And if I have Duarte and I have Colby Jones, and then, you know, Herter's future with my team would come into question if it gets to that point, right. But he's going to have every chance to show that he's Kevin Herter.
Man, this is a great discussion, man, because Colby Jones has made it difficult, not only for Mike Brown, everybody.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We all say this kid has played great. It's just going to be hard, in my opinion, to get him in the rotation night in and night out.
Conversation continues when we come back. Also, can the Kings repeat as Pacific Division champs? Anthony Slater from The Athletic tells us why he thinks they can when he joins us next. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And in a moment, we'll be joined by Anthony Slater. Excellent preview in The Athletic today. He, along with Law Murray and Jovan Buha, put together a really great Pacific Division preview. And it was interesting. I know we touched on it earlier, Kyle. Interesting because Anthony Slater says Kings can win the division, but once it comes to the playoffs, they probably don't have as good a chance of advancing deep into the playoffs as everybody else in the division.
Yeah. I can't wait to ask him about that. I would imagine it's not because of anything the Kings.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're, you know, going to fall apart. It's because the other teams have veteran leadership and they've been there before, have that experience. So, mm-hmm.
And don't make me go to Slater Tration on this whole Colby Jones versus Kevin Herter thing, where I ask him to settle the dispute.
Yeah, let's, hey, we you know, we can ask him. He's an unbiased journalist. You know, I value his opinion. So, yeah, we could get his take. And if he agrees with me, don't be all salty. That's all I'm saying.
I know this. He has no say in this, but I know he's done a great job covering the Warriors and also the Kings. But, you know, hopefully more Kings coverage this year. And that's not his, you know, it's not up to him. But I'm hoping we get to hear, read more from him. And we get to hear him now. Anthony Slater with us. How you doing today, Anthony?
I'm doing good, fellas. I'm actually driving down to San Francisco, going to see Wembanyama tonight. For the
first time.
Wow.
Is he playing tonight, as far as we know?
He's supposed to be. Okay. As, like, last I heard, you know, I mean, maybe Popovich will ruin my night in about, 90 minutes, but I think we're going to see him for 20, 25 minutes tonight.
Anthony, we really enjoy your preview. We've been talking about it a lot today already. And with so many analysts expecting regression because the Kings, they were healthy last year, regression. Why do you like the Kings' chances to win the division again?
Well, I mean, and as I mentioned in it, like, and you can look at last year's standings, like 48 wins was the top, 43 was the bottom, right? It's this like crazy packed division, you know, and nobody even really talks about divisions, you know, like they do in MLB. But these are all five contenders. Like, it could go, you know, anyway. Why do I like the Kings? I think the way they attack the regular season is a little bit, you know, they're younger, they're fresher. Especially last year, there was just like kind of a verve and an energy that you don't normally get in a regular season from teams. You know, I cover the Warriors, as you mentioned, on a regular basis. There are often seasons where you just feel the grind wearing on them. You never felt that last year with the Kings. And, you know, the home crowd, that helps. You know, I think when you get tired teams coming in there in the middle or at the end of West Coast road trips, you can kind of run them out of the building. So I do think people are overly expecting the regression this season. I do think they're going to repeat, you know, somewhat what they did. You know, what does that end win total? I don't know. But, yeah, I put them atop the division, but I do think it'll be a packed division.
No, I agree 100% with you, Anthony. I think all five teams, once again, will be in the playoffs. What do you think is the biggest hindrance, I guess, to Sacramento advancing deep in the playoffs? Like, what would hold them back, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's simple to just say defense, right? But I think, you know, specific areas of defense, to me, they don't have, like, a stopper, like a wing stopper. You know, I mean, I like Davion Mitchell. He did go 4-for-4 from three in a flash the other night at a game I was at, that Warriors game. So if he can hit his shots and stay on the floor more, maybe, you know, they do have kind of a more of a perimeter ace. But the fact that I just don't think at the highest level, you know, a Steph Curry game seven type performance, that they can, you know, turn the water off as easy. And then, you know, on the back end, just lack of rim protection. You know, I love Sabonis. I particularly love Sabonis as a regular season hub of an offense. But come playoff time, you can kind of get to the rim without worry against the Kings. I know they went out and got JaVale McGee, and I do think that's a change of pace, a dynamic that maybe they didn't have last year. But, you know, he's older. He's a 15, 20-minute per night player. I honestly think there's times where he shouldn't play and they should go Trey Lyles at the five. That's not to say, like, I think they have no chance, but I still am of the belief of the more top-tier guys, the Steph Currys, the LeBrons, the, you know, I don't even really want to Kawhi and Paul George at this point because they just seem like theories. I probably honestly would take the Kings over them, although I don't think I did in the article. But,
I think we lost Anthony Slater there just for a
second. Solve it right
there,
now?
Yeah. We lost it for just a second, Anthony. Yeah, you okay?
Okay.
We got you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. I can hear you guys. But, yeah, I mean, the big thing, look, Mike Brown's clearly trying to solve the defense, like, in a pretty stern way, like, right away. Maybe if I see something in the first couple months that, you know, maybe if they're ranked 14th, 15th, it's a different conversation.
Anthony Slater from The Athletic with us. I know that you agree with the idea that Keegan Murray is poised for a breakout year. In what areas would you say the Kings really need him to break out the most?
Well, I think he is in line for a breakout offensive season. I think that's become obvious over summer league, preseason, just everything you're hearing about him, really everything you saw. Like, he's going to hit catch and shoot threes at a high, like, elite clip, 40% and above. He is doing off the dribble stuff more. That's not a secret. They're all talking about it. He's finishing stronger. You saw that dunk the other night against the Warriors in traffic. So I think he's poised to become, like, you know, fringe all-star level offensive contributor. To your question of where they need him to break out more, I would like to see more from him on the defensive end. He's big. He's smart. He's not as laterally quick as your typical wings. You know, I know during summer league, they kind of talked about like a Kawhi Leonard type transformation potentially coming for him. I do see that offensively. I don't see that defensively. He just doesn't have that upside. But if he could become like adequate, you know, bothersome, if they could play like the Clippers and like you feel okay with him like guarding Paul George. And I know they tested it last year, but that's where I want to see him, because that's where I'm most skeptical of him, because I'm not skeptical at all offensively. I think we're all starting to see what he's going to become.
Should Kings fans and Mike Brown be worried about Kevin Huerter?
Maybe. Didn't have a good playoff series. Obviously, like, you know, not hitting the shot early in camp preseason. To me, he's streaky, right? You know, there's some shooters across the league that are, like, steady, consistent, and there's some guys who make in bulk and miss in bulk. I would say Klay Thompson's one that I cover, and he's kind of comparative to Huerter as a shooter, where he's going to – what did Huerter shoot in the first month last year, first month and a half, like 52% from three?
Yeah, it was
like
crazy,
that.
Yes.
Yeah. But then there was also a month where he shot like 31 or, you know, below. So he just might be cold right now. And when he's cold, then suddenly, you know, I think Mike Brown's eyes start to tilt towards like, hey, Chris Duarte can miss those shots but also play better defense. Davion Mitchell can hit 30-something percent but play better defense. So, like, yes, in a sense of I could see him, like, suddenly not have as firm a rotation, firm a starting spot, and maybe that snowballs his season. But also, I think there's going to be a month somewhere, and maybe it's early, maybe it's middle of the season, that Kevin Huerter like carries their offense for months at a time, because he's hitting 52% of a high volume of threes, and we all know he's pretty important in their offensive scheme, right? The dribble handoff stuff. I know the Warriors were very intent on shutting that down. So I think what he does as kind of a cutter and a dribble handoff recipient is more key than people realize.
Anthony, you obviously covered Mike Brown for many years when he was an assistant with the Warriors. What do you think he has enjoyed the most? What is he most proud about with this Kings team? And also, how difficult is it for a defensive guy to coach this team that has so much trouble defensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think most proud of, I would say, probably how quickly they, like, really bought in. You know, it could have gone one of two ways last year. But I think the way, particularly, you know, his stars, I think the way Fox embraced them early on was huge. And allowed him, and I know you hear, I heard a quote from Kevin Huerter the other day about it, but the fact that he can coach Fox and Sabonis really hard opens up kind of the respect level team-wide where you know, I think if players see, you know, differing approaches, they start to roll their eyes a bit. So I think he's probably just most proud of the way this team has allowed him to coach. And then, of course, just the record and where they went last season, and the fact that they legitimately pushed the Warriors to the brink and could have won that series. And then the other question was just how, you know, as far as, I remember talking to him last year, and they had like the number one offensive rating like ever, but, you know, they're sitting there 23rd in defense. And I do think it, you know, kind of grinds them a little bit. You see them on the sidelines, you see those quick timeouts after 30 seconds mm-hmm. into a quarter. It frustrates him. And I think he's acting on it right now. You know, he's not coming into the season going, you know what, I'm just the new Mike D'Antoni. We're going to just run people out of the gym. And, you know, if we're 24th, whatever. He's trying to solve it right now. And that does come at the risk of maybe eroding at their offense a little bit with lineup choices and just, you know, what he's emphasizing. But he is not standing pat just being okay with being the 24th-ranked defense and the first-ranked offense. I think he would much prefer 4th-ranked offense, 13th-ranked defense, something like that.
All right, Anthony Slater, thank you. We appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the game tonight. Do you have any idea whether we'll see more Kings coverage in The Athletic if they continue to play as well as they did last year? I know it's not your call, but can you give us a sliver of hope here?
Yes, I think me and Sam Amick, I believe next week we'll have a big story at some point during opening week, just kind of on this moment of the Kings, like kind of a deep dive. And then, yeah, over the course of the season, I'm going to drop in. Sam Amick will drop in. We got a young writer, Hunter Patterson, who will drop in with some articles. So, you know, we're trying. We're trying.
I know. Great stuff. Thank you, Anthony. We appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
All right, fellas.
All right, Anthony.
That's good stuff.
No, and that's a guy that is at the games, you know? He's talking to Mike Brown. He's talking to the players.
Mike a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. So we didn't really go to Slater Trashen, but it sounded like he kind of split the difference there, didn't he?
No, I don't think he did. He didn't mention your boy Colby Jones at all. I was wondering. I was like, all right, I heard Duarte, I heard Davion, and
probably split decision.
So I think I won that one. Yeah. I won that round.
To be continued. Coming up next year, Will, and this is one I know we're going to disagree on. Will a return to the playoffs for the Kings, would that alone constitute a successful season? We will discuss it like gentlemen do next year with the Drive Guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Bad pass. Stolen. Lee Jones, he's going to the rim. Takes it right to the iron. Finesses it home. Lee Jones playing some nice defense there. Caught that skip pass attempt and took it to the iron in transition.
Another great game for Colby Jones last night. Yeah, Drive Guys here, Sacktown Sports. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to talk to Emil Fragoso, our 49er insider. Do you know what today is the anniversary of for 49er fans and the 49ers?
No, I don't. What?
Today is the anniversary, the one-year anniversary, of the Christian McCaffrey trade.
The trade that changed the franchise.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So is he going to play
Did
Monday?
They win that trade?
So far, but it's funny, we're going to look at some of the grades that people gave that trade in a little bit here. And it's, a lot of people didn't see it coming the way it worked out here. Emil, by the way, said, I got a text from him here. Tell Drapes I'd play Colby over Sasha right now, all in on the 21-year-old. So
that should just show you that your opinion's wrong. If Emil is agreeing with you, you're definitely wrong. Stick to football, young fella. Stick to football.
Company.
Stick to football.
It's because he's young.
Right.
He's
exactly.
Him as a peer.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd play him over Sasha. I don't know if I'd play him over Sasha.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
Be that as it may, Emil is coming up top of the hour. Here's where I think we disagree. We're disagreeing on a lot of things today. To me, as we get ready for the start of the Kings season, if the Kings make the playoffs this year, that would constitute a successful season. Now, I'm not saying they can't do more. If they do more than that, that would be great. But given that it took them, 17 years to get back to the playoffs, if the Kings get back to the playoffs this year, I think that we would have to say, you know what? They had another successful season. What say you?
No, you trying to...
What do you say to that?
Yeah, go get me all fired up, Whitey. I'm telling you, man. I'm chilling. I'm cooling right now. No reason to get me... Of course I disagree with you. So you would constitute that as a successful season?
I think
you
would.
You would be satisfied with that?
I think you'd have to say, you know what? All things considered, yes, that was a good season. It's not that I don't want more. Not that I'm not saying they can't do more, but I think they made the playoffs. I think we'd have to say, tip of the cap, because around here, that's not easy to do.
See, this is where you're wrong, and this is Kings fans. Listen up right now. Whether you're driving home, driving to Tahoe, driving to the Bay, listening on YouTube, wherever you're listening right now, pull the radio a little closer to your ears. This is a new era of Kings basketball. I am not judging Sacramento on the 16 seasons of missing the playoffs. If you want to, you know, compare it to that, well, considering where we came from, it's success. No, I'm comparing this year's Kings team to last year's Kings team. And so if we're talking about winning a championship, trust me on this, in any big-time sports market where winning is the ultimate goal, just getting there is not enough. Ask Mike Brown if getting to the playoffs is a successful season. Hell no. This team needs to advance past the first round. Then I'll be happy. Because it's levels to this, Whitey. Here's the thing. It's like being a contractor. You're building a house. On day one, you build the first step. You come back day two. You know what? For so long, I've had trouble building steps. I'm going to just stick with one step today. No, to get over the hump, to change the culture of your franchise, to change the narrative of your franchise, you need to keep pushing forward. Get greedy, Sacramento Kings fans. Playoffs? Mm-hmm. We're talking playoffs?
Yeah, I hope we are.
Save that for the Atlanta Hawks. Save that for the Detroit Pistons. Save that for the New York Knicks. We need to advance deep for me to be satisfied. And I'm sure the players, because think about it. You could argue they felt they should have went farther this past season.
Yeah.
And so just getting there, we've been there, done that. We're past that.
Once.
No, but this team, you want growth. And so if they lose in the first round, I don't see the growth in the team.
Here's what you're overlooking. Obviously, your talk, your speech, very dramatic.
You like that, right?
Yeah, goosebumps. very dramatic and true. You want to see growth. But you know as well as anybody that in sports, when it comes to progress, whether it's an individual player or a team, rarely does it happen in linear fashion where you're good one year, then you're better, then you're a little better than that, then next thing you know, oh, championship. That would be wonderful. That's the way we like to think that things go. They don't go that way. So as long as you continue to improve as a team and you continue to be competitive and you build off last year, you can build off last year and have a successful season without getting further. Hopefully they will, and they're capable. I want to make sure that you don't twist my words into saying they're not going to get past the first round. I'm not saying that. And I do think that you can't ignore the past, this franchise's recent past. And it's great if Mike Brown or any of the players say, we don't care about that. We're not worried about that. But as a Kings fan, you recognize, wow. And if you look in the rearview and realize how long it had been since they'd been in the playoffs, 2 years back-to-back in the playoffs, would mark a very significant accomplishment in and of itself.
That's a loser's mentality.
Losers?
That is a loser's mentality. You have kids? You've had two. You got two kids. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it into context you would understand and people at home would understand.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Because otherwise,
I'm going to put it on the bottom shelf here for you, Whitey.
My goodness.
Let's say your child gets B's in school. All throughout the school year, they got B's. You know what's going to happen? Every time good job, Johnny, you got a B. Good job, Johnny, you got a B. He's not going to strive to get that A. We need the Kings to strive to be better than just one of 16 teams to make the playoffs.
Okay.
We need this franchise. Like, if you set the bar high.
Sure.
Aim for the stars, shoot for the moon, whatever. Yeah. I don't know that saying, but you know what I'm talking about. But that's what I'm saying.
You brought it up.
That sound like George Bush back in the day. But my bad. I'm sorry about it. But you see what I'm saying, though, Whitey. You aim high, and if you don't get it, okay, all right. But in my eyes, I'm aiming high for this team.
Great.
If I'm just going to be happy with C-plus average work, I can't. No, ask my son. I'm on his butt every single day. Hey, Dad, I got a B-. Great. But what do you need to do to get that A?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying don't aim high. I'm not saying, hey, Kings, just shoot for the playoffs. We don't want anything more than that. That's not what I'm saying. But when you consider the competition, the level of competition in the West right now, and again, the recent history of this franchise, wandering in the playoff-free wilderness. Do we have any hope of being a decent franchise?
Whitey,
we have that now.
Whitey, you're wrong. You think LeBron James is at home right now? Man, if we just get back to the... You think Steph Curry? You think Jokic?
They're not on the Kings!
You think Kevin Durant? No, but if we want to be in that category, we got to think, you know what? It got to be championship or bust.
We just have to recognize that if the Kings get back to the playoffs this year, we should have a very robust celebration again just for them getting back in the playoffs. And then beyond that, great. I think they're capable of of winning in the first round. But it's a major accomplishment for this team to get back to the playoffs a second year in a row. If they do that, I will applaud them vigorously.
So roster be damned. Better roster this year. You know what?
Well,
we're wanting the same results. We wish you. No, come on, Whitey. Come on.
You could also
man.
Be better this year and not win as many games, which is what I expect to happen.
No, this team better win a playoff series. That's all I'm saying.
I hope they do. If they get in the playoffs, build a statue of Mike Brown and Colby Jones.
Back-to-back playoff bursts? Oh, yeah, for sure.
We'll take a quick timeout. Then we got to get ready for a big NFL weekend. 49ers don't play until Monday, but will CMC play Monday? Going to find out from Emil Fragoso. He agrees with me about Colby, by the way, which is awesome. Our 49er insider from SackdownSports.com joins us next. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.